Kreider forced it out of the zone. Kreider moves in. Kreider's shot to Flecken. Score! Score! Zibanejad wins it in overtime! Mika Zibanejad!
Mika Zibanejad and that big clutch overtime game-winning goal for the Rangers to push them to with one win away from advancing to the next second round against the Ottawa Senators. He did it. He's back for another season, and so is the NYR Zone podcast. Hello, everybody. I'm Dom Brenna in for another season, and there has been confusion as to what the plan is with the NYR Zone fan page. I did make an announcement that we were shutting down, but there's a very, very small chance that we might not be completely shut down. I've been updating you guys throughout. I can announce that the podcast will continue to be a weekly theme, so we'll give you that coverage. Like I said, the Rangers and Mika Zibanejad, did agree to a long-term extension, which is fantastic because of all the moves that the Rangers did make this season and how important of a factor that Zibanejad is going to have on this team. So let's get right into our offseason recap as to what the Rangers did. Obviously, as we all know, they lost to the Ottawa Senators. Very tough series, very frustrating series, a series that saw a lot of the Rangers' holes come out in a big way. They didn't really put much forth of an effort in the game where they got eliminated. Erik Karlsson was a beast. The Rangers blew two or three games in that series where they were up by two goals. A lot of questionable moves from head coach Alain Vigneault on deployment. Obviously, Vigneault is back for another year at the head of the Rangers bench. There have been some changes along that. Along that line, which we'll get into in a moment. So let's take a look at some of the big changes that the Rangers made. And a lot of it was basically getting rid of some of the old core while remaining to stay young, but also stay competitive. Remember, the way the Rangers see it is they still have Henrik Lundqvist, and they only have a significant playing level Lundqvist for a couple more years before that play starts to dip. And if you really think about it, last season was Lundqvist's worst season of his career. The numbers prove it. And the up and down was something that needed to be addressed. And they did address that. They amped the defense up crazy, in a very crazy way. The biggest move coming out of the biggest move coming out of the season was perhaps the first move that the Rangers made, and that was a trade of Derek Stepan and backup goaltender Antti Raanta. Stepan has played his entire career with the New York Rangers. Their number one center over the last few years has done nothing but good things. He's a great guy. I got the chance to meet him. A little biased towards it. I was a believer that if you traded Stepan, the return better be of the equivalent of the type of player Stepan is, because you were not replacing the type of player that Derek Stepan is, and they still have not been able to replace him. The deal included Raanta, so they got a first-round pick, and Anthony DeAngelo in that deal, which a lot of Ranger fans probably felt they could have gotten more. Stepan and Raanta to the Coyotes. Raanta will get a chance to be the starting goaltender there. Stepan, the number one center, will probably be there as well with a nice young core. Arizona made a lot of moves this offseason, where it's going to help them out a lot. They're going to be a lot better team with all that young talent that they do have. So DeAngelo is a young defenseman, right-handed defenseman, something that the Rangers have been trying to acquire for years, have been unable to do so, did not do it last year. They get one in D'Angelo, who has a bit of a character issue, you can say, from some of the things that you read about him. Hopefully that can be ignored and his play will speak for himself, not part of the issues that are off the field. They were able to re-sign Mika Zibanejad to a 5-year extension with a pretty good average salary of 5.35 throughout those 5 years. That's huge considering the fact that Stepan is gone. And my biggest problem with what Jeff Gorton has done is he really didn't do a good enough job finding a replacement for Stepan. Now, he's really relying on Kevin Hayes and Mika Zibanejad to be a number one and a number two center. Hayes had a point last year where he could be a number two center. But don't forget, he disappeared later on in the season. Mika Zibanejad got off to a great start, then got into a freak injury. And that really didn't, after him coming back, he really wasn't the same player. There was times where he was the best player in the playoffs for the Rangers, but he never really turned into that player that we thought he was going to be last year. Now, the injury didn't help. Like I said, the only person you can say that replaced Stepan is David Desharnais, who the Rangers signed to a 1-year deal, spent last season with Edmonton. Never really a big goal scorer, more of a third, fourth line type player. Jesper Fast is back for another year. The Rangers signed him to a multi-year deal, 3 years with a salary of 1.85 per. Fast is going to miss a couple months due to surgery he had in the offseason. And just recent news with the Jesper Fast, he debuted his new number for next season. His number 19, is being retired. So Fast will switch to number 17, and he will wear that the rest of his Rangers tenure. He, don't forget, Fast originally started out with 91. Jokes going around that they're saving 91 for Tavares when he becomes a free agent. But that's another story for another day. So we got into David Desharnais. We got into Fast re-signing. And the biggest, second biggest move the Rangers made this season was landing Kevin Shattenkirk. A lot was said last season about the Rangers making the trade for Shattenkirk. Shattenkirk ended up going to the Capitals, who were the favorites to win the Stanley Cup. Obviously, they did not, and the Penguins came out on top again over the Predators. And the Caps got Shattenkirk, went all in, and was unable to re-sign him due to other key important players to their core that they needed to sign. They got those done, and Shattenkirk became expendable. Rangers got Shattenkirk at a steal. 4-year deal, 6.65 per. A big pay cut than a lot of people thought he was going to get. The reason they could do this was the Stepan trade. His $6.5 million salary came off the book and his no-trade clause. They still had Dan Girardi's contract come off the books after buying him out. Only paying Girardi $2.6 million, $3.6 million throughout the next 4 or 5 years. And so that's going to be very huge for this team. Defense has been revamped. If you look at their defense right now, it's Kevin Shattenkirk, Mark Stahl, Ryan McDonough, Brendan Smith, Nick Holden, Brady Shea, and Anthony D'Angelo. Expecting from me is that they're going to trade Nick Holden for a center. Holden has a cap hit of 1.65 and is a year away from unrestricted free agency. If anyone's the next person to get bought out in an offseason, it probably would be Mark Stahl if they can try and find a trade partner. Remember, Mark Stahl is just turning 30. He's the oldest member of this defense core. Youngest is Anthony D'Angelo at 21. And then you have McDonough, who's 28. Smith, who's 28. Shea, who's 23. Shattenkirk's 28. And D'Angelo's 21. So it's a young core. It's going to be a good defensive core. Speaking of young cores, the Rangers forwards groups are going to as a young core. The oldest player on the team on the from the forwards side of perspective is Rick Nash, and Nash is just 33. They're going to need a big year from him as well, only because of what they traded away and stepped on and they're not replacing. They're really relying on JT Miller, Kevin Hayes, Michael Grabner to put up the numbers they did. I wonder if they're going to try and throw Pavel Buchnevich more of a full-time role. Tanner Glass is not coming back. Neither is Brandon Peary. They re-signed Matt Pumple. You have JT Miller and Kevin Hayes who signed deals to come back. Both one-year deals will both be unrestricted free agents next year. So you have another 2 years of Buchnevich, another year of Easy, year of Pumple. So who they get to replace Antti Raanta? Andre Pavlik signed a one-year deal, $1.3 million cap hit. Rangers are really banking on Pavlik and Benoit Allaire to work some magic together. Only because Pavlik has not really had a good season throughout for the last few years for the Winnipeg Jets. Pavlik was a starter once. He lost his job to Michael Hutchinson last year. And if you look at his numbers, they really haven't really been good. Career numbers, looking at 152 wins and 158 losses. Goals against of 2.87 and a 9% of 0.907. Last year, Pavlik started out in the minor in the American Hockey League. Got called up towards the middle of the season. Went 4-4 with a 3.55 goals against and a .88 save percentage. Pavlik's best season came in the 2014-15 campaign, where he went 22-26. I'm sorry, I'm getting my numbers wrong. 22-16-8 with a 2.28 and a .920 save percentage. That was only in 33 games. No, I'm sorry, 50 games. The stats are not showing up the right way on here. So the Rangers are losing a lot with Raanta leaving. They're really relying on Benoit Allaire to fix Pavlik. I guess you can say he needs to be fixed. So that's something we have to look out. Another thing to look out for is the Rangers gave Jeff Bukubin a new position on the team, hired Lindy Ruff as his replacement. Lindy Ruff has spent his time with Dallas as the head coach, as well as the Buffalo Sabres, where you might remember seeing him the most. Ruff will be in charge of this new revamped decor, which should give the biggest storyline of the year a little bit of a break, Henrik Lundqvist. And the reason he's the biggest storyline of the year is because you don't know if you're going to get what you're going to get from him. Are you going to see the first half Henrik Lundqvist, who really was inconsistent? Or are you going to see the second half Lundqvist, who turned out to be really good? Last season, Lundqvist did not have his usual type season. He still won 30 games. He had an accomplishment that no other goaltender has ever done. He had his worst season in terms of goals against in his career of 2.74, as well as his worst season with his save percentage of a .910. The worst one throughout his career was a .912, and that was in his third season. Where, in his defense, he played 72 games that year. So do the Rangers give him more time off? Can they afford to give him more time off? That's where Andre Pavlik comes into play. And then you also have other goalies within their system that is something that you should look out for. There's going to be some players that might break out of camp that might surprise you. There's always that. They did sign Bobby Farnham on a player's tryout, so that's something to look out for. Probably have noticed him from the Devils. Looking at some players that might make an impression on you during training camp. Elias Anderson, who they took in that top 10 pick with from the Derek Stepan trade, had a good tournament for Sweden. Philip Scheidel, I hope I'm saying his name right, was someone that is to be reckoned with. The Rangers took him with their original pick. The Rangers had a lot of controversy with the picks that they took. They're all safe bets. Now, don't forget, Anderson is 18, and Scheidel is 18 as well. So they have a lot of things to do there. I imagine him come in as well. Goaltending-wise, if Pavlik comes off rough, they do have Brandon Halvorsen, who's been in their system for quite a while. They signed a goaltender named Chris Nell. So there are other names that they're to be reckoned with. There's also Cristóbal Buñuelos, who we saw a little bit last year, who can fill in a fourth line. Defensively, it's going to be tough to make that team. Will Ryan Graves step up and have a good training camp? That's yet to be seen. From the look of things, they're really going to rely on guys like Jimmy Vesey and Pavel Buchnevich and Matt Pumpel. They have 12 forwards. The 12 forwards that I'm looking at right now are Rick Nash, Bika, Kreider, Zuccarello, Miller, Hayes, Faust, Grabner, Desharnais, Buchnevich, Vesey, and Pumpel. Faust is going to be out for some time. So one of those players that I just named before will have a chance to make this team. Is it a guy like Stephen Fogarty, who is very versatile, who can play center and can play right wing? Is it a Tim Gettinger, who you've heard a lot about, or Sergei Zaborovsky on the defensive side? Is it Cole Schneider? Daniel Katanaki, who the Rangers got from Buffalo last year, it will be him, yet to be seen. So that's just something to look out for with the preseason coming up in a couple of weeks. The Rangers' first preseason game is September 18th. So we are 12 games away from there being hockey on TV. That is the Rangers against the Islanders. That will be interesting to see to pay attention to. Obviously, we'll look at some key players that we felt were interesting to watch in there. The next podcast might not be a weekly thing, but we'll probably get back into this right before the Rangers' first preseason game, just so we can gauge what players we think are going to play well, what players we think will be interesting to watch. We'll get into more. There'll be more updates as to what we're going to do with the page itself. I'm trying to pull some tricks out of my sleeve. Hopefully it works. If not, I promise you one thing, there will be a podcast every week. We will continue to try and get guests on here throughout, as well as some special guests. We have some new connections that might help us out, and we'll move on from there. Until then, this is Dom Renna from NYR Zone saying, see you later, go Rangers, even though we haven't started yet. Only 2 more weeks till hockey is back on our television. Have a great week, everybody.